Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
It's wonderful to be here tonight. Praise God. And we are going to open with a prayer before we do anything. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness. We thank thee for the prompting of thy Spirit. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast led us here tonight. And we pray, Lord, that thy Spirit would be here. Let thy Holy Ghost be upon each and every one of us. Help us, O God, to draw nigh to thee, to be obedient to thy call, to do thy will. We ask, O God, that thou would give us the ability and the desire to worship thee here this night in spirit and in truth. We ask that thy blessing would be here, that thy anointing would be here. And we pray that everything we do here this night would be according to thy perfect will and thy perfect plan. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you can find your chorus book, we're going to start with number 13 tonight. Have thine own way, Lord. Number 13. Have thine own way.
Have thine own way.
praise you, God. God. We're going to turn now to number 76 and sing Reach Out and Touch the Lord, number 76.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 105 and sing Only Believe, number 105. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God. We're going to turn out to number 95 and sing Hallelujah. He's an answering God, number 95. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Jesus. We're going to turn down to number 42 in the chorus book and sing, Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul. Number 42. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Never thank him enough for that. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast done for this ministry. And we pray, O God, that thy hand would continue to be upon this church. And I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to guide us in all that we do, direct our steps, direct our paths. Help us to know what to do in the days ahead, Lord. Give us thy great wisdom. Give us thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for the cause of thy holy name. And Lord, we pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here this night and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, we have a few things to pray about. We're going to pray for Shirley and ask the Lord to continue to touch her. She seems very much better at this point, but she was telling me earlier that her eyes have been a little blurry, and it's likely a side effect from the medication she's been taking. And of course, she's really looking forward to that being over and done with, but she's greatly improved. And we're also going to pray for Jane. She's doing a lot better, and she seems to be almost like her old self now. But we're going to pray for her and ask the Lord to continue to heal her body and strengthen her. And we're going to pray for Carol as well. She kind of took a turn for the worse the other day, and her kidney function is not good. Her kidneys were functioning at 5%, and her body had swollen up quite a bit, and she was unable to move very well. And she spent some time in a hospital. She actually might still be in a hospital, and they did dialysis on her, and she has improved since then. She's been doing somewhat better. And they are going to move her to a rehab facility after the hospital. So we're going to pray for Carol as well and ask the Lord to touch her. We're also going to pray for, again for Don. I talked to him on Sunday morning, and he seems to be doing somewhat better. He's in good spirits, and he believes he's going to get better. But he is on that oxygen. He had excess fluid near his heart, and originally they thought it was congestive heart failure, and now they don't know what it is. They're not sure why this happened or where it came from, but he is on oxygen all the time, and I know that's quite an adjustment for him, and he's hoping to get off it, and he's looking forward to being back in church as soon as he can be. I know he misses being here. So we're going to pray for Don as well. We're also going to pray for Diane. She's not here tonight. Her arthritis has been acting up again, and I guess she's in quite a bit of pain. I can't help but wonder if maybe it's a little bit related to the weather change. I know sometimes arthritis and things like that can be affected when weather changes, and I know that right now we are in the midst of a thawing, really. And we're also going to pray for Ellie as well, that the Lord would continue to touch her and continue to heal her foot. And of course, it's been a while since we've seen her, too, and we're looking forward to seeing her again. But we're going to bring all these needs before the Lord, and we're also going to pray for all the people who are being affected by this whopper of a storm that is right now affecting the plain states. You know, from what I hear, it's quite bad. In fact, the weather forecast said that travel would be almost impossible in those areas because they're getting just so much snow and there's blizzard conditions. And I looked at the radar. It's a very, very large storm system, and it's going to come to Wisconsin as well. In fact, it probably is already here, but it's too warm for it to snow here, so we're going to be getting rain, and they're saying it could thunderstorm tomorrow. And it's just so strange because here you have this storm that is dropping mountains of snow in some places, and here all that rain is going to wash away all our snow. So, and it's the same storm system, but isn't it strange how that works sometimes? Well, let's pray for all of God's people who are being affected by that storm, and just pray for their safety in addition to all of these other prayer requests and these needs. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this evening on behalf of Shirley. We pray, Lord, that thou would continue to work with her, continue to touch her, Lord, continue to heal her. We know that she has greatly improved, and we are so thankful for that. We pray, Lord, that thou would do a complete work, and we pray that there would be no more side effects from the medications that she has been on. But we pray, O God, that thou would strengthen her by thy mighty hand. We pray that this infection would be totally and completely healed, totally and completely gone. For we know, O God, that thou can do all things, and we believe on thee. We believe thee here tonight. Touch her right now, we pray. Heal her completely. Restore full function to her body. And we pray, O God, that her eyesight would not be blurry, but we pray that thy hand would be upon her eyes. Touch her, O God, right now, we ask. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Father in heaven, we also pray for Jane. We pray, Lord, that thou would continue to heal her body, and we pray that there would be no long-term damage from this accident. We pray that there would be no long-term problems from her concussion, but we ask that her body would be made completely 100% well. Be with her, walk with her, touch her, Lord, we pray, and strengthen her by thy mighty hand, we ask. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also pray for Carol. We pray, O God, that in thy mercy and thy grace that thou would reach down from heaven and talk to her, Lord. Comfort her soul, Lord. Help her, O God, to reach out to thee, to believe on thee with her whole heart. Believe on thee in great faith that thou can heal her, that thou can touch her, Lord. Help her, O God. We pray that she would be able to get better, Lord, that she would be able to get out of that hospital and out of the rehab clinic and back home. And we pray that thou would give her great strength, Lord, so that she can do all of the things that she needs to do. We ask that thou would restore her kidney function as well, Lord. Help her, O God, for she needs thy help desperately right now. Touch her by thy mighty hand, we ask, and we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Father in heaven, we also pray for Don this night. We pray, O God, that thou would continue to help him. We pray, O God, that thou would make a way for him. Reveal to the doctors what is causing this problem, and we pray, Lord, that thou would completely restore him, completely give him full function of his body, Lord. We pray that his breathing would become normal. We pray, O God, that thou would help him, O God, to get better. And we pray that thou would get him off of this oxygen so that he can move about freely. We pray, O God, that thou would strengthen him by thy mighty hand and give him great faith to believe on thee, Lord. Touch him right now, we ask, and we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Father in heaven, we also pray for Diane. We pray, Lord, that thou would touch her, O God. We pray, O God, that thou would take away this pain that she is enduring right now, this pain from her arthritis. We pray that it would go by thy precious name, Lord Jesus. And we pray, O God, that thou would help her with her diabetes symptoms as well. We pray that she would be in good health and that thou would make her every whit whole, Lord. Just touch her right now. Let thy healing virtues flow. And we ask that thou would restore Diane. We pray, O God, that thou would touch her right now. And we ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Father in heaven, we also pray for Ellie once again. We pray, Lord, that thou would continue to heal her. We pray that her foot would be made completely 100% whole. Give her great mobility. Let there be no residual pain, but we pray that she would be completely healed. For we know, O God, that thou art our healer, that thou art our deliverer, that thou art an almighty, wonder-working God. And we know that there is none beside thee. There is none else that can do what you do, Lord. So we pray that thou would touch Ellie right now and let thy healing virtues flow. And we pray for all of these requests, asking, O God, that thou would be with thy people, strengthen thy people, help thy people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And Father in heaven, we also pray for all those who are being affected by this current storm system, Lord. We pray that thou would give thy people great strength to endure this hardship. And we ask, O God, that thy hand would be upon them and be with them all, Lord. Guide them in all things, guide their steps, and we pray for thy safety. We ask that thou would keep them well. And we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing one more chorus before we turn this over to Shirley tonight. We're going to go to number 141 and sing Heavenly Father, I Appreciate You. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. But we are going to turn this service over to Shirley now and see what the Lord has put on her heart. Praise God.
Praise your name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. It is good to be here tonight. I just thank God. I didn't expect to end up at the hospital last week, but the doctor looked at me and said that the med that I was on was not helping me, and he could not in good conscience send me home. So I did end up at the hospital to basically receive IVs. And praise the Lord, the swelling has gone down very greatly at this point. So glory be to God. Oh, praise the Lord. It is good to be here. Sometimes, you know, we fight some pretty big ones. You know, God knows how to deliver us. God knows how to keep us. He knows how to encourage us. He knows how to use us and how to talk to our hearts. Sometimes it takes rather drastic means, I would say. But our God is faithful, and he's, you know, he's leading us. He's guiding us. He's here with us, and I'm so thankful. Praise the Lord. Let's go to him in prayer again one more time here. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again for this privilege of being here. Thank you, Lord, that we can worship you, Lord, that we can sing psalms unto thee, Lord, that we can sing hymns unto thee, Lord, that we can worship you, Lord. God, we have knowledge of thee, Lord. We have knowledge of thee, Lord, in this world that has been given over so hugely to the adversary. But oh God, I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd use us. Pray that you'd get us to that place, oh Lord, where we could be effective, oh Lord, in our ministry to thee, Lord. Oh God, in this world that needs thee so drastically, Lord. Pray that you talk here tonight. I pray that you would move in our hearts. I pray that you change people, Lord, that you change us, oh Lord, that you give us the insights and the knowledge that we need, Lord. And oh God, I pray that you'd use this message, Lord, for your name's sake and for your glory, oh Lord. I know I can do nothing without you, and I need thy strength, I need thy help, I need thy words. Oh God, we all need you, Lord. Oh God, to draw nigh unto thee, and oh God, to receive of thee those things, oh God, that you would have us to have. Oh, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The unfolding of God's word is a wonderful thing. I had a really wonderful conversation with Sister Shirley last night, and we realized that most of so-called Christendom is not at all scripturally based. And you do look at the emptiness. I see it, in faces. It seems like the young people don't have hardly any knowledge at all of the living God. And I had the privilege of talking to a young girl a couple days ago, and you could just see it on her face, that emptiness. I don't know what she was. She might have been a Wiccan. She, would not profess to be a Christian by any means. But yet, you could see the need. And so many of these young people, when I see them, it's not like in my generation when I was in school and most everybody went to Sunday school. Most everybody had at least some knowledge of the Word of God and believed in God. But times have changed. People's thinking has changed. It seems like faith is missing. People don't know God. They're walking in darkness and they've turned to other means, other religions, and they don't know. They don't have direction. But here we are. We may have a little time yet, and maybe just a little time. I don't know. I see the signs unfolding. I can tell that, we are near to the coming of the Lord, and how we need to be stirred in our hearts, how we need to get to that place where the Lord can use us, where we can be that vessel that he can move, that, he can whisper, what we need to do, and we follow through. We listen. And the Lord knows how to direct us. He knows how to bring us to people who desperately need the Word of God. And I pray, that the Lord would help us. That he'd help us to forget the things that are mundane, the things that don't matter, that he'd help us to draw nigh to God with all our hearts so that, we can be saturated with the power of God. And, yes, walk in faith. Walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. So thankful that the Lord has been patient with us. And yes, as we're nearing the end of the world, and you can see people, with their concerns about the environment and, what's going to happen next and, the possibility of future generations and, maybe not being able to exist. Well, God knows. This earth has, a closing time. It has a time when it is going to be over. God knows, for he has appointed a day in which he's going to judge this world in righteousness. He knows when it is. And praise the Lord, I pray that he is nudging us so that, we can walk in faith. We can go forward, we can fulfill our Father's will and do the things that would please him, so that, one day when he comes, he will find us watching, he will find us waiting, he will find us occupying, with our lamps trimmed and burning, and with great desire to do our Father's will. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to be talking a little bit about a temple not made with man's hands here tonight. And we know that this may be a little strange to many people. I know people there in Israel, they are looking for a Messiah. They didn't recognize Jesus when he came to this world, and they are yet looking for someone to come and deliver them and, you know, establish them and lead them. And yes, it seems that they have a prefab temple that they're ready to put up, ready to erect. And, you know, there's many people that are enthused about this and, you know, waiting for that day and thinking it's going to be a wonderful thing. But let's look into the Word of God and just see how he might lead us tonight and the things that he might show us. We know that his Word is established, and you know, sometimes very simple things that are written in his Word are missed. And I think a lot of times people just read a tiny portion of the Scripture and they don't have the full counsel of God and how important it is for us to know the Word of God to the best of our ability. You know, it's going to be line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, here a little, there a little. You know, the Lord's going to teach us. It's not like he pours it all in, you know, at the first and, you know, we know it all. No, it's a growing process. But as we begin to study the Word of God and put it in our hearts and ask the Lord to show us what we need to see, we begin to see things. He begins to bring it all together, and we see how beautifully it all works together, the wonderful Word of God. And I just want to just go to this one point here in 1 Corinthians 15. Here it says in verse 45, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven." So yes, the first man, Adam, was of the earth. But the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, was from heaven. It says, "As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Oh, praise the Lord. We are looking for that day when, oh, we will be transformed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Oh, yes, when this incorruptible will put on incorruption and this mortal will put on immortality. Oh, praise the Lord. But the point that I did want us to realize, and I believe this has been emphasized in this ministry, so it's not a strange thought to us, is it? That which is first is not spiritual. You know, the first covenant pertained to the natural. It had, you know, rules and laws pertaining to the natural man. But the second covenant was spiritual. Oh, yes, a covenant that would change us in the inward man and transform us and help us, oh yes, to become like the Lord Jesus, even with infilling of the Holy Ghost when he comes to rule and reign in our very being. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that is an established principle here in God's Word. First, that which is natural. Second, that which is spiritual. First covenant was natural. Second covenant was spiritual. Very basic, but I don't know that it's always understood, because there are some people who want to take away from this spiritual covenant. Oh, that is such a tremendous covenant. And then, you know, take on something that is natural. I say, that's not God's way. That is not part of his principles. Praise the Lord. Let's just read a couple verses here in Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things have mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Oh, yes, it's so contrary. You know, the wise very often don't esteem God's word. But the person that God will look to is a man that is poor in spirit. In other words, of a humble heart, not haughty and proud, but poor. And of a contrite spirit. A contrite spirit is one that is repentant. A contrite spirit acknowledges one's past, one's sins, and gives it over to the Lord in repentance. That's what a contrite spirit is. One that turns to God and away from one's sinful ways. And yes, trembling at the word of God. Oh yes, there's a fear of the Lord that is the beginning of the wisdom. And you know, without that fear, that respect for God, we're never going to have God's wisdom. It's just not going to happen. But yes, the heart that God can touch is one that realizes the tremendous significance of God's word and the great need to heed it. A great right to adjust one's thinking to God's word. In other words, trouble at God's word. But yes, here's God. Heaven, it says, is his throne. The earth is his footstool. And you know, how can you build me a house? You know, where's the place of my rest? He's asking here. You know, because, you know, he's the creator. He put all these things in place. You know, it's all his. You know, he made it. His hand had made it. And these things have been because God ordained it. God put it in motion. And yeah, you know, he's the ruler. He's in charge. And, you know, what can we do, you know, for the mighty one, the one that created heaven, the one that created earth, you know, heaven is his throne, the earth is his footstool. But praise the Lord, we can give him our hearts. Oh yes, that would please the Lord to be that poor in spirit. Oh yes, that contrite spirit, the one that trembleth at his word. Praise the Lord, that's what we can do. We can give our hearts to the Lord. I want to also go to Acts the 17th chapter here for just a wee bit. And here, the second portion of Acts chapter 17 is we have Paul in Athens. And we know when he got to Athens, his spirit was stirred in him, because here he was in this big city, this metropolis. And here he saw a city that was given over to idolatry. Oh, yes, they had their philosophers, the Epicureans, the Stoics, and, you know, they were always wondering, you know, for some new word, you know, some philosophy that they could ponder, I guess. But anyway, Paul went up to Mars Hill there, Areopagus, and there they asked him, you know, for his new doctrine. They wanted to hear what, you know, he was all about. And, you know, it seemed that, you know, he had a strange way of thinking. And anyway, they wanted to hear. So he is here up in Mars Hill. And this is what he tells them in verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God,' whom therefore ye ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and have made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So here he's trying to correct, you know, these basic fundamentals. Oh yes, it says, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Oh yes, that was his message to the Athenians there, and oh, how profound it is. But praise the Lord, he told us, you know, oh God, he made the world and all things therein. He is Lord of heaven. He is Lord of earth. He dwelleth not in temples made with hands. No, that's not how you approach God. You know, you don't have to create some kind of edifice to, you know, to please him. And, you know, he's not worshipped with things of man's hands. You know, it's those things that people seem to want to make to appease their gods. And isn't it something how, you know, people look for something that's tangible? You know, they seem to want something, you know, that stands out. You know, that they can look to, a, you know, a beautiful cathedral or, you know, some kind of church that's, you know, a, built in a, you know, an amazing way, according to the thinking of man. They look for things to worship, you know, relics and idols, and even the sun and moon and stars, something, you know, they can see. But, you know, our God is in heaven. And, you know, he has done whatsoever he hath pleased. You know, there, you know, the psalmist was addressing there, the folks there in Psalms 115, where he said, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us give glory, but unto thy name give glory. Unto thy name give glory. It's, you know, the credit, the glory doesn't go to us as human beings. But unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. And then the question, wherefore shall the heathen say, where is now their God? See, they look for something, you know, that they can put in front of them. Oh, this little statue, you know, this little thing of gold or silver or some kind of metal or stone or something. You know, so they can see their God. And, you know, they're going to look at us. Well, where is now your God? You know, no, we're not gonna, you know, there's no symbology to represent our God. We don't need anything at all. Because it tells us, verse 3 here, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Oh yeah, we don't need a picture of him to bow down before him. We don't need some kind of statue. God forbid. But all we need to do is acknowledge him and realize that if we reach out to him, he will reach out to us. Oh yes, for in him we move and have our being. That's right. He's not far from any one of us, as Paul told the Athenians. But their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Oh, yes, it's all our faith, our trust in the Lord. Oh, a God that we have not yet seen. But by faith, we reach out to Him. Oh, yes, we need faith to reach out to Him. We have to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And to the individual who will reach out, who will diligently put their best effort forth, oh, yes, to find the living God. God will be found of Him. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, we don't need some kind of edifice. We don't need some kind of temple to worship our God. Oh, yes, we can worship Him on our bed. Yes, we can worship Him as we drive down the road. You know, as we walk down the road. You know, as we converse. Oh, yes, He's constantly there with us. And what a privilege that is. Oh, to have the living God in such a wonderful way. Oh, yes, to know that He is a very present help in the time of trouble. He's right there with us to help us. I know last Tuesday, I think most of my children were there with me in the hospital. And you know, I thank God for some of those moments. I think, you know, it was a happy time in a lot of ways. And before we left, we were able to pray. Well, it had been quite a day because Jane had that accident with the car and everything else. It had been quite a whopper of a day, to tell you the truth. But I'm so thankful we had that time to pray together there before everybody left that night. And, you know, it was so beautiful there in that hospital room to be able to reach out to God and to call upon Him. And one thing I said, you know, is that I could feel His presence. Yes, that there was that assurity that He was right there with us at those moments. And praise the Lord, you know, He doesn't abandon us in our time of need. But oh, He's all the more ready to help us at such an hour. And praise the Lord, we are blessed to know the living God. Amen. And we are blessed to live in this time period when we have the second covenant. Let's go now to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Praise the Lord. This first portion of this chapter starts talking about the first covenant, and then it compares it, the second covenant, with the first covenant. Let's read here. It says, then verily, this is chapter 9 of Hebrews, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. And that was really something, you know. We know that that first portion of the tabernacle, that the first portion that they're speaking of here, had, you know, it had the candlesticks and the showbread, the table with the showbread, and all of those items there in that portion. There was, you know, the altar of incense there before you went into the holiest of holies, and you know, outside was the altar of sacrifice. And the priest would go in there daily to tend to it and to make, you know, bring the new fresh showbread and you know, make sure that candlestick was lit and all of that. But the second portion was the holiest of holies, the holiest of all, as it says it here, behind that veil. And there were these things that were very particular. And only the high priest could enter in beyond that veil once a year. And, you know, he had to do it exactly and precisely the way that the scripture decreed. And what a place it was, because that little area there was a place that represented the presence of the Lord. That Ark of the Covenant with the cherubims hovering over it and showing the mercy of the Lord. But that was a place that God had designated that he would meet there. That is, it would represent his presence. It says in Exodus 25, verse 22, "And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandments unto the children of Israel." So that was that special place where God would meet with them. His presence would come on down. And my, what a thing that would be. When, yes, there would be a representation of the presence of the Lord. And it would be clear that they were being visited. But you know, it wasn't like every day. It wasn't like any time. And you know, nobody could go back there but the high priest. But praise the Lord, there was a time when that veil there, as Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross, that veil was ripped in twain. It was ripped in two, and it began, yes, to tear. Oh, it was a great heavy veil. But oh, there's nothing too hard for our God. And yes, at his will, by his bidding, that veil was ripped from the top to the bottom. And praise the Lord. It meant that because Jesus had given up the ghost, that we, as the children of God, would be able to enter into that place. We would be able to commune with the Lord. Oh yes, that we would have fellowship with him, that we could dwell in that place where his presence would come down. We wouldn't have to, you know, just leave it for the high priest to enter in that spot for just one time a year. One day as he was atoning for sin. But oh yes, he was opening up a throne of grace. Yes, so that we could enter in. Oh, as it tells us in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Oh, God Almighty putting on flesh to walk this world. Oh, yes, to be tempted like we are. All points tempted like we are. But he did that without sin. Praise the Lord. He was able to, oh, yes, live a sinless, pure life. But he put on that flesh so that he could be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Oh, he knows when you hurt. He knows the pain that, you know, people bear. He knows the suffering because he allowed himself to put on flesh and to come unto us as the Son of God. Praise the Lord. So therefore, we are told in verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Oh yes, we can now go to that place beyond the veil, that throne of grace. Oh yes, it's there for us. at any time, at any moment, night or day. Praise the Lord, we can talk to the Almighty One. Oh, we can bring Him our needs. Oh, yes, we can cry out to Him. Oh, knowing that He is faithful. Oh, yes, and that He understands and that He's willing to help us to meet our needs. Oh, to change the things that need to be changed, to give us hope. Oh, to bring healing. Oh, yes, healing to those infirmities. Oh, yes, to restore us. Oh, yes, to make us whole again. Oh, praise the Lord. I saw that, oh, behind the veil is now opened up. Praise the Lord, so we can enter in. He goes on to tell us here, verse 6 here, Hebrews 9. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Oh, yes, blood was essential. It had to be put on all the articles. It had to be sprinkled. It was on, you know, sprinkled on the priests even. He goes on to tell us, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, well, as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Okay, that first tabernacle that was erected under Moses there. Yes, it was not yet open to that holiest place. It was not yet available at that point. But it was symbolic of the time that would yet come. It tells us in verse 9, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. See, as I said on the offset of this message, you know, the first covenant pertained to the carnal. And yes, so it's only dealing with, you know, meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances that were placed on them, that were imposed upon them until the time of Reformation. And I'll tell you what, the time of Reformation that is being spoken of here was not 1517 when, you know, Martin Luther put, you know, those 99 theses on the door of the church there at Wittenberg. No, that's not what it's referring to. No, the time of Reformation, oh, was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Oh, when He brought about the greatest reformation. Oh yes, He was presenting Himself as a perfect Lamb of God when He was taking our sins upon Himself so that we might all be holy, that we might be His children, that we might walk with Him. That was the time of reformation. Oh yes, when He would bring about those few days following the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, so that His Spirit would dwell in His people. So, yes, that we could be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Oh, yes, so we might know what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Praise the Lord. That was a time of reformation. But the first covenant was a figure. It was temporary. It was symbolic of that which was to come. And it tells us in verse 11, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. And let's understand the word tabernacle means dwelling place. So, you know, He is bringing about a more perfect tabernacle or dwelling place. Oh, yes, instead of the need to be a temple for the people of God would become a temple of the Holy Ghost, a temple of the Lord. And it tells us in verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, yes, it had its place. It was temporary, but it had its place. And yes, they would, you know, be forgiven those sins that, you know, the blood was applied for there, those which had been committed. But, you know, it did not fully take away the sin. And if that, you know, temporal atonement was to some satisfaction, it asks in verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? See, so if that one was significant and had a purpose and had meaning, how much more does the second covenant prevail and bring forth a mighty deliverance and power? And it tells us in verse 15, and for this cause he is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Oh, praise the Lord. So Jesus Christ became the mediator. He was the go-between, the one that would bring us to God. He was bringing forth also the new covenant. There at the Passover, what was he doing? He was bringing forth a new covenant. He was introducing it. You know, it was a covenant. Oh, yes, the Jews would represent the blood that he would shed for us. And the bread that they partook of would represent his flesh that he would give for his people. So he was bringing forth a new covenant, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And what a beautiful thing that inheritance is. We know, as it tells us in 1 Peter, that inheritance that we're promised is incorruptible. It's undefiled. It's one that fadeth not away. It's one that is reserved in the heavens for us. Oh, praise the Lord. What a beautiful hope we have in the Lord Jesus. An inheritance that he does not, will never know corruption. He'll never rust. He'll never corrupt in any way. There's no way that it can be destroyed. So Jesus Christ became the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, or the first testament, it says, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And then it tells us that, you know, where there's a testament, it's another word for a will. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. So, you know, he could not put a second covenant or a second testament in place until there was a death. It explains, for a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. And of course, I'm just going back on this other thought before I completely passed it. You know, it was therefore essential in order to bring forth that new covenant that one would die first. And that was our Lord Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for many, taking our sins upon him there on the cross. And it tells us in verse 18, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Blood was essential in the first covenant. But the second covenant oh yes, would be brought forth by the blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. Oh yes, it tells us in verse 19, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. And besides, it tells us in verse 21, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And it tells us in verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Yes, it took the blood of bulls and goats, oh yes, to make atonement for sin, and they would not have any atonement for their past misdoings without blood being shed. But praise the Lord for this better way that the Lord hath provided. The first was symbolic of what would yet follow. It was a pattern that would be followed, but it would be completed by the gift of Jesus Christ and his offering of sin upon the cross once and for all, as it continues to tell us. It tells us, verse 23, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So yes, it wasn't a holy place made with hands that he entered into. That was figurative of that which would follow, of that which was perfect. But he entered into the heavens itself. Oh yes, we know after those 40 days, he ascended into the heavens with that great promise that the same Jesus, which they had seen go into heaven, would one day come back in like manner, just as they had seen him go into heaven. So he would return. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 24 again, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. It's not, you know, after the natural images at all. They were just figures of the true, that which would be perfect. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as a high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Oh, see this perfect plan that God ordained. Oh, yes. It wasn't that, oh yes, there would need to be a temple made with man's hands. No, that would not be a requirement. Because God was going to make a temple of his people. He was going to have a dwelling place. His people would become the temple or the dwelling place of the living God. And what a wonderful plan this is. Oh, what a perfect plan this is. Oh, yes, we don't have to, you know, have a priest kill an animal to atone for our sin. And we don't have to do that frequently, you know, to make up for all the things that go wrong in our lives, all the misdoings and all the, you know, crazy things that sometimes are done and often are done. But Jesus Christ came to this world as the Son of God with a plan that would put away sin so that we could come to that throne of grace and obtain mercy Oh, that help in the time of need that we all need. Oh, yes, that our sins could be purged. Oh, yes, that they could be taken away from us. So that, oh, they're not over our head and we don't always have to, you know, go look and see, oh, how we might atone for those sins. But praise the Lord, we can come boldly to that throne of grace to obtain mercy. Oh, we can come before our gracious Savior. Yes, because He appeared to take away sin. He appeared to do it once by giving Himself a sacrifice, a ransom for many. It tells us in verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time, without sin unto salvation." Oh, that perfect plan of God. Yes, that we could come to Him. Oh, that we can seek His forgiveness. And knowing that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, yes, He made atonement so that we could be forgiven our sins. And praise the Lord, He is coming again to those that look for Him. To them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Oh yes, that sin does not have to stand before us. Oh, that sin that separates us from God. That sin, oh yes, that created such chaos. When man lost that perfect fellowship that, you know, he and she had at the beginning. Oh, praise the Lord, it was restored. We can come to the Lord Jesus, acknowledging our sins, going down in the waters of baptism for the remission of those sins, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's the plan of God. Oh, yes. We don't need that temple, that tabernacle that is made with hands. Oh, Christ hath brought forth a more perfect plan where we have direct access to the Almighty God. Oh, praise the Lord. We all have direct access at any time, any hour, under any condition. We can go to that wonderful throne of grace to find mercy, to help in the time of need. Praise the Lord. Let's go to a few other places, because it clearly tells us that God's people under the new covenant become the temple of the Holy Ghost. Let's look at a few places here. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. It tells us in verse 9 here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So, above all things, yes, it must be built upon the foundation that was established by our Lord. Oh, yes, it's built upon the foundation that, yes, the prophets established, the apostles established. But the cornerstone is the Lord Jesus Christ. And clearly it tells us here, you've got to take heed how you build upon it. You know, you can't, you know, take a part of it off and then try to build on it. No, it's you know, as it must be. So there's a need to take heed how you're going to build upon that foundation. You know, you can't deviate from it. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Verse 11. Now it tells us in verse 12, Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, some works will stand, some will not. Every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to be revealed. What is this? You know, what have you done? Is it, you know, is it solid? Is it going to stand? Oh, that day of reckoning, that day of judgment, when we all stand before him. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Oh, yes, God's balance scale, you know, when, you know, our work is going to remain or it's going to be burnt. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Then it goes on to say in verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, under the new covenant that he brought forth in his blood, there is no need for an outside temple edifice, a big building. Oh my, that's not required. But we become the temple of God. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. All that need to build on that foundation, not to deviate from it, built upon, yes, the principles that are established in God's word. Oh, yes, not with vain works, not with works of unrighteousness. Oh, that would be to defile that temple. And it's clearly stated here that if you defile the temple, the dwelling place of God, that God is going to destroy it. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, for two verses here, very end here. Again, the same thought here. If we look at verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Or our whole body, as we give it to the Lord, we turn our life over to the Lord when we come to him. We give it over to him so that, you know, it's not of us. Our whole purpose is to glorify God. We are bought with a price, the price of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, yes, our whole living needs to be unto him. Oh, yes, to glorify our God, the Savior of our soul. So, we make sure, yes, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, the need to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. Let's look at an Old Testament portion of Scripture here. Going to Zechariah here. Chapter 6, we are very near the end of the Old Testament, Zechariah. Here's a beautiful prophetic utterance here. If we look at Zechariah chapter 6 and going to verse 12, it says, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Okay, here he's talking about the Lord Jesus coming forth as a branch. The branch is an extension of a tree, isn't it? Jesus Christ was that branch that came forth to do the work of God. And it tells us, yes, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. And so, what kind of temple is he building? It says, even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Oh, that great high priest that Paul is writing of there in Hebrews, that ninth chapter. And the crown shall be to Helam, and to Tobijah, and to Jediah, and to Han, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you, and this shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Oh, praise the Lord. He's talking about, yes, a people that would come forth and build upon that which the Lord Jesus established and be part of his husbandry, be part of his building, laborers together with God. Because the Lord is putting forth a temple under this new covenant. Oh no, it's not a building, an edifice. It's not a cathedral. You know, it's not one of these huge churches that seem to exist in this time period that we live in. You know, these churches that, oh my, have shops and schools and gymnasiums, maybe a theater, all kinds of things, you know, big edifices unto man, mega churches, full of people, full of pastors. But is that what the Lord looks unto? Is it a temple that man will erect? No, the temple that the Lord Jesus is putting together consists of the church of the living God. Oh, that glorious church that he has established, that glorious church that Ephesians talks about, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh yes, those that he has sanctified, that he has set apart and made holy, those that he has cleansed with the washing of water by the word, oh, that spoken word. Oh yes, as we go down in the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, that cleansing. Oh, as he sets us apart, as he sanctifies us. Oh yes, because Christ loved us in such a way that he so freely gave his life for us. Oh yes, that we might be born of the water and of the Spirit, that we might inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, that glorious church that he is going to present to himself, a church that has been purified, a church that has been made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ, a church, oh yes, that knows the will of God and walks in his ways. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, a church that is going forward. No, not going back to the whims of man. Oh, yes, but rather following hard after the voice of God, listening to that Spirit. Oh, yes, that directs. Oh, it tells us in Psalms 87, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. Oh, that's the church of the living God, those that were born from that Zion which is above, the city of the living God, the place where our God dwells. Oh, you know, you can say this person, that person was born here. They were born there. I was born in San Antonio. Oh, you know, you were born in Beaver Dam maybe. But whatever all, that's not what is significant. Because, oh my, There's a need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Oh, yes, there's a need. Oh, yes, to give one's life over to the Lord so that we might inherit eternal life. And the Lord, He is going to count, it tells us here in Psalms 87, when He writeth of the people, that this man was born there. Oh yes, God keeps His records. He knows those that are His. He knows that have been born again, and of the water and of the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. And they are going to be His that day when He makes up His jewels. Oh, He's going to spare them as a father spareth his own son that serves Him. Oh, praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to be a part of that glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But here it tells us, if we now turn to the book of Ephesians. Oh, it tells us, in verse 8 here, all the whole chapter is so amazing. But verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That's right, He takes us. It's not of our own works. We would boast otherwise. But we're saved by His grace, by His mercy. It wasn't of ourselves. It was a gift of God, something that He gave us that we could never deserve, we could never earn, we could never merit. And yes, we give it to Him. And He begins to work in us. He begins to change us. He begins to turn us around and, oh, smooth us out, you know, so the rough places may be made smooth, you know, and oh, that we might be a profitable vessel unto Him. We become His workmanship. Oh, His work, because He's the one that's doing it. He's the one that's changing us. He's the one that is remaking us. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Oh, going back to that old covenant there again, the one made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But praise the Lord for that plan. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, oh, we were a long ways off. Oh, yes, we were so far, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, He made a way that we could approach the living God. He made a way that we could be changed. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. Oh, that veil was ripped in twain. So now that we can enter into that holiest of holies, we can access to the presence of the Lord. He broke down that partition that separated us. Oh, praise the Lord. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the laws and commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself a twain, one new man, so making peace. Oh, He broke down those barriers, those restrictions, those things. Oh, yes, there were enmity that, you know, were impossible to really fully observe. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body. He's talking about all people that would come unto Him, both the Jew and the Greek, those that were of the circumcision and those now that were of the uncircumcision. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body, bringing both together so there's no division. You know, there's no separation between Jew and Greek, between male and female, between bond and free. We're all one in Christ. and came and preached peace to you that which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Oh, praise the Lord. He had this plan that, oh, we could be joint heirs, fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God, his own sons and daughters, we who were afar off, oh, we who had no hope, we who were without promise, without God in this world. He made a way that we don't have to be strangers and foreigners to the plan of God. Oh, yes, to the household of God. It says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, that was, which was established, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And here it describes that temple of the new covenant here. Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Oh, he joined us together so that there is one body. It's one building, one workmanship, and it's all fitly framed together. And we grow unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Or a dwelling place, you know, a tabernacle, a habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh, that wonderful thing that we would become the temple of the Holy Ghost, that he would dwell in his people, that we would become a habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh, it's a beautiful thing, how he reconciled us unto God so that we could come to him and be joint heirs with Christ, being built upon that foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Oh, what a beautiful thing, that gift of reconciliation, that peace that he offered, that yes, we might come to him. We might come to him, oh, that those sins could be atoned of, you know, that we could become that holy temple in the Lord, that we might become that glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, praise the Lord, the temple of the living God. And when we get to heaven, when he comes forth to bring forth his new heaven and his new earth, as we turn to Revelation in the 21st chapter, it tells us, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Oh, praise the Lord, he's bringing us together that we might dwell with him and be his people. And is there need for an outside building, a huge edifice, a beautiful building? No, it tells us in verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, Neither whatsoever worketh abomination, maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to be a part of that temple of the living God. Joint heirs with Christ. Oh, yes, participants in his plan. So that, oh, yes, we can inherit the promise of our Father. Oh, yes, we could be his children. And, oh, yes, we could dwell with him. We could be his people, and he will be our God. He's going to wipe away all those tears. He's, you know, there's going to be no more death. There's going to be no more sorrow. There's going to be no more crying, no more pain. All those former things are all passed away in that new heaven and that new earth. Praise the Lord. He that sits on that throne, the Almighty One, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Oh, praise the Lord. Wonderful plan of God. Yes, there was a temple for the people under the old covenant. But oh, that perfect covenant that he brought forth. Oh, that perfect Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. They came forth, oh yes, that he might make his people a temple. That oh, we might dwell together throughout all eternity. That his Spirit might work in us, walk in us, talk in us, oh, that we might be participants of the wonderful plan of God and be a part of that temple that is not made with man's hands. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, our God doesn't reign in temples made of man's hands at this point at all, but instead he has made of his people a temple for the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, the wonderful plan of God. And I'm so thankful for it tonight. Praise the Lord, are you thankful for it? Oh, yes, we have so much. Oh, to count our blessings, to see what he has done for us. Oh, yes, that we are recipients in the family of God and made unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of our God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. When he sees that blood, he's going to pass over us. Make atonement. Yes, that gift of God. We might have eternal life. Praise our God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to open our melodies of praise hymnals in closing to number 271. We're going to sing I Believe the True Report, number 271.
I am living in the presence of the King.
praise to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb, by the cleansing of the blood. Oh, glory be to God, by the Spirit's power and light. I am living day and night in the holiest place so bright. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. I have passed the ribbon veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. I have passed the outer veil. Hallelujah to the Lamb, which did once God's light conceal. Oh, glory be to God, but the blood has brought me in to God's holiness so clean, where there's death to self and sin. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have passed the ribbon veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. I'm within the holiest pale. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I have passed the inner veil. Oh, glory be to God. I am sanctified to God by the power of the blood. Now the Lord is my abode. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have passed the ribbon veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have passed the ribbon veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. Praise the Lord. Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.